Amen. Thank you, Barry and Sarah. Praise the Lord. And that's really where our thoughts should be at really all the time, but Thanksgiving season, that's where thanks begins, is the old rugged cross, what the Lord did for us. And I enjoyed Debbie's offertory, thinking about, of course, that meal, and that makes you get a little hungry. But we will get out. You'll have time to eat lunch. Don't worry. But anyway, praise the Lord for that. I guess I missed a visitor, and my wife caught that. Young lady, of course, I should have known that. What is your name again? Two of them. Oh, both of you. All right. What's your names? And Mariah. All right, Brittany and Mariah, good to have you here. Sorry I missed that. I guess you raised your hand and I didn't see it. But anyway, it's good to have you here today. And then another thing, last week, I did want to read this so you could know. Jack Hintz was a corporal, first class in the U.S. Army. He was a tank commander, 1st Infantry, 70th Tank Battalion, served 2 years in Japan during the Korean conflict. And Jack wasn't able to give us that information last week, but anyway, we got that now. And now you know that, as we honored the veterans last week, and we praise the Lord for that. Well, Psalm 40 and verses 1 to 5, during the week we had our youth explosion. I thought of this passage of Scripture much of the time, and I looked out and looked at a lot of young people that reminded me a lot of myself and how I used to feel and everything. And we saw 54 young people trust Christ as their Savior. And we had 10 baptized and just really had a good time with that. But I want to talk to you this morning from this passage about when life is the pits. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts. You'll give us what we need today. And I thank you so much that in my case and many, many others, life is no longer the pits. And I pray that you'll challenge us now to be thankful for the salvation that you give. And I pray for that one here today who does not know Jesus, that they might be saved today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 2, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The only thing I can think of that reminds me, or that I can think of as a miry clay that is a horrible pit, was the edge of our pond when we lived out in the country when I pastored in Bern, Indiana. We had a little pond, just a small pond, but the edge of it had that real nasty mud. I mean, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just real thick mud. And we would have to go in the pond and we'd clean the weeds out. We'd have to walk through that. And I remember many times as I'd try to step out of that, leaving a boot behind. And I'd happen to try to find it again and get it back in. I mean, it was just nasty. And I remember the edge of that pond. One time we had a youth activity, and we had some bus kids from Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was about 45 minutes away, and we ran a couple of buses to Fort Wayne. And we had some bus kids there, and they had never been out there. And it was evening when they came, and it was getting dark. And I'll never forget, we played, I don't remember the game, I want to say it was kick the can. We used to do that all the time because it's cheap. Amen. And anyway, and I'm not going to go into all the rules and everything because I'm not going to be playing it. I know that. No, I'm too old for that. But anyway, the thing involved, you had to take off running and hide and all that kind of stuff. And sure enough, we started in our backyard, and our pond was off to the side, and we had about 3 acres of land there and little woods and everything. And I mean, plenty of places to hide. And I'll never forget this one young man, Sean, from Fort Wayne. He took off running. I mean, he's running like crazy. And all of a sudden, I heard, ah! And he'd fallen into our pond and got stuck in the mud. And it was hilarious. And it was a lot of fun. And, of course, teenagers like stuff like that. But anyway, that is what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about a horrible pit. Miry clay. I mean, it's just, you get stuck in it. It's that nasty. And so I entitled the message this morning, When Life is the Pits, because that was my life before I got saved. It was a pit. That was your life before you got saved as well. And folks, honestly, let's not forget that. Let's not forget that is what our life was, the pits. We were in a pit. we were in the miry clay, and when we got saved, all of that changed. When you trust Christ as Savior, all of that changes. I thought about several teenagers I kind of watched during the youth explosion, and you know, life has changed for them now. And, you know, I particularly was paying attention to one young man that reminded me of myself. And I thought, you know, because he had that look, that distant look in his eyes, like he's lonely, and he life is the pits for him. And I thought, you know, he's in a pit, and his feet are in miry clay. But thank God, during that time of the youth explosion, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And it was funny. It was the first time after that, first time I'd seen him smile the whole time. And, you know, God does that. He brings us out of a pit. And so I want to, you know, understand this. And I preached on Wednesday night to the young people the difference of being saved and having a life in the pits. There's such a huge difference. And God is so good. Understand, if you're in the pit today and your life is the pits, literally, and you're lost without Christ, suicide's not the answer. Injuring yourself, that's not the answer. Drugs, that's not the answer. Alcohol is not the answer. All these other things that people try and all these other ideas, they are not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And He's the answer for life that is the pits. And so I want to talk to you and give you some points through this passage. Number one, I want you to see the condition. The condition. Again, the Bible says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. That is a lost man's life, a horrible pit. A pit indicates that you're down. And there is nothing more down than being lost. There's nothing worse than being on your way to hell. There's nothing worse than having a life without Jesus Christ. I mean, honestly, we think of salvation as being, hey, I'm going to heaven. That is a wonderful thing. But, you know, let's understand that we have Jesus. He is our comforter. He's our peace. He's our help in time of need. I mean, there's so many things that Jesus does for us. It's not just we're going to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But He forgives us. There's no guilt anymore. I mean, there's so many things that pit brings with it, and it's just a down life. And understand, when you're not saved, you're down. Finances aren't going to bring you up. Friends aren't going to bring you up. Folly won't bring you up. Nothing in the world can get you out of that pit except Jesus Christ. You know, why? Because the world and worldliness is part of that pit. Notice, it's a horrible pit. It's miry clay. And it's horrible. Nobody likes a pit. It's dark. It's unknown. And understand this. The sins that we commit and the result of those sins, that's a horrible thing in our lives. It's a horrible thing. Do you know, most people don't grow up thinking, I hope I can just destroy my life. You know, I'm just trying to figure out a way to destroy my life. If I can just make the wrong decision here and destroy my life, I'll tell you, I'm just really working on that. People don't Google howtodestroymylife.com. They just don't do it. You know, young people don't plan to have a life messed up by the time they're 14 years old. They don't plan that. Nobody plans that. And yet, it is a horrible, horrible thing to have to deal with those sins in our lives. I remember when I was a teenager, I was in a horrible pit. And life was the pits. Understand, that's the condition of every lost person in this world. Understand, if you're saved today, that's not your condition. I mean, honestly, can't you praise the Lord today because you're saved? Can't you rejoice today because you're not in that pit anymore? See, I'm afraid, and I mention this often because to me it's a huge issue. We sort of forget about that pit. We sort of forget where we came from. We sort of think, you know, now I'm all cleaned up and I don't smell like that old pit anymore. I don't smell like that mire and clay. And we sort of forget that darkness that was taking place. We sort of forget all the things that happened in our lives there in that pit and the result of our sin. And we forget the guilt that we had and we sort of forget all that. Folks, don't forget. Don't forget. It was a horrible, horrible place to be as an unsaved person. Again, if you're not saved today, please get saved. Come out of that pit, and God will help you do that. Then, notice, it's miry clay. Miry clay. Stuck. You know, I don't know of anything that would describe a lost person any better than that. Just stuck. Period. Just stuck. You know, I remember as a teenager going through my all the motions of life, and I was stuck till Jesus came into my life. You know, I was stuck. And that's like, you know, the more you try to get out, the more you get in trouble. Isn't that true with sin? I mean, seriously, isn't that true with it? Here's somebody who maybe they had a terrible childhood, and many do. Many do. We see more and more children who are abused by parents or by relatives, and just unbelievable. I mean, really, isn't that hard to believe? And we see, but by the way, as long as our world has a mentality that you can kill a little baby inside its mother's womb, how precious is life? I mean, if the little baby, hey, that little baby's going to be a child. That little baby's going to be a teenager. That little baby's going to be an adult. All we're doing is killing it while it's in its mother's womb. Yeah. But you know, you feel stuck. You feel stuck because your sins have hold on you. And what happens is maybe you've been done wrong. Maybe you've gotten bitter and you start growing up into all that kind of stuff. And so you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start drinking. Oh, and look what happens. You talk about being stuck. Now, it's like the more you try to get out, the deeper you get in. It's like quicksand. You get in quicksand and you try to get out. And the more you move, the more you sink. Huh? That's what we do too. That's where our world, so many people are today. Well, you know, the alcohol, that takes care of my problem. No, it doesn't. It just makes you drunk, so you forget it for a while. That's all. It doesn't take care of your problem. In fact, typically, it ends up being worse for you because you get in your car and drive and you kill somebody while you're driving. Or you, while you're drunk, you do something else and commit some other crime. Or you say something you should not have said. And you know what? After a while, the alcohol is not enough, so now you go to some kind of drug. And you see, all of the efforts of man to get out of that miry clay, it doesn't work. It just makes you more stuck. And it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, we have a large prison ministry here. And you know, some of those folks, they're just plain old stuck. You know, I mean, they're going to be in prison all their life. Can you comprehend that? All your life. Hey, when they were 5 years old, they didn't say, when I grew up, I want to be in prison all my life. Never. Nobody says that. Nobody says that. But you see, they fell in a pit. And it's called, you know what I want to do. It's sin. And the condition of a lost person is that right there. And that was me. And that was you. Terrible, terrible condition. What are you going to do? Number two. Number one is the condition. Number two, notice the cry. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. And watch this. And heard my cry. That is so good. The best thing about this thing is, and you ought to underline it in your Bible, He inclined unto me. What's that mean? He was listening for my cry. You know, I couldn't help but think, Brother Caleb, as teenagers were coming in, and they thought they were coming to get a prize. They thought they were going to play some games. They thought they were going to stick their head in chocolate pudding and pull out gummy worms. They thought they were going to wrap each other up in toilet paper. They thought that's what it was for. But all that time, the God of the universe, He was listening for their cry. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it's an amazing thing to me. At 17 years old, I can realize now that the God of heaven was leaning down, waiting on me, a long-haired hippie. He was waiting on me to call out to Him, oh God, please save this sinner. You know what? If you're not saved today, he's leaning down this morning here at Berean Baptist Church. He's listening for your cry. He inclined unto me, the psalmist said. He leaned toward me. He was waiting to hear the smallest little whimper. God, please save me. And it doesn't matter if you were saved 30 years ago or 3 days ago. You know what? God leaned down. He wants to hear that cry. That amazes me. That amazes me. For God so loved the world, He gave. He loves me so He leaned down He leaned down to hear that cry. And he heard the cry. Amen. The Bible says he heard my cry. Amen. And you know, thank God for that. He heard Daniel when he was in the lion's den. He heard Jonah when he was in the belly of the whale. I mean, listen, he's listening for that cry. He heard me, and he'll hear you if you cry for him. You know, the last thing to sink in quicksand, it's your head. Amen? And you have to understand something, unless you dove in, which if you did, sink. But I'm just saying, you know what? As long as you have a mouth, as long as you can whimper, God will hear your cry. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Aren't you glad? You know, folks all over this room, I mean, you were in the mud and it was here. It was here when you got saved. I mean, you were, maybe it was here. Maybe you had mud right along the edge, but all you had to do is cry out, oh God, please save me. Boy, he takes care of things, doesn't he? He takes care of things. Your cry, that's what he's listening for today. He's waiting on your cry. You say, well, I'll just turn over a new leaf. He's not waiting on any leaves. He's waiting on your cry. You say, well, I'll just join the church. He's not waiting on church membership. He's waiting on your cry. You say, well, I'll get baptized. No, he's not waiting on you to be wet. He's waiting on you to call. He's waiting on you to say, oh, God, I'm a sinner. Please save me. That's what he's waiting on. That's what he wants from you. He wants to hear your cry. I'm so glad he heard my cry. 17 years. You say, well, I don't know really what to say. What would you say if you were drowning? Huh? I mean, you know, are you looking for a fancy prayer to try to read if you're drowning? No, you help, right? Yeah, that's what I said at the age of 17. You know, I didn't know what to say. I hadn't been to Bible college. I had no clue. Didn't grow up in church. I didn't know. I was a long-haired hippie. I mean, I said things like groovy and right on. I mean, I had no idea what to talk to God about. I might have told him after I got saved, boy, this is really groovy. You know, I didn't know any. And you know what? He just, all he wanted to hear was my cry. And that's what he wants to hear. Hey, listen, Thanksgiving, you say, huh, I've had a hard year. I don't have anything to be thankful for. How about he pulled you out of a pit? How about he heard your cry? How about over and over again since I've been saved, and I was saved at the age of 17? Listen, over and over and over and over. He's still listening for my cry, whatever I need, whatever I want. He's still listening to talk to me. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. It doesn't matter. He's always there, always listening. He wants to hear. Then he heard me cry as a sinner. Now he hears me cry as a son. Amen. And he's always willing to listen. Number one is the condition. Number two is the cry. Number three is the conversion. Because verse 2, it says this, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He did it. God did it. Not an angel. God did it. He brought me up. He did it. He's the only one who could do it. Nobody else could do it. Doesn't say the Baptist church did it. Doesn't say the Catholic church did it. Doesn't say the Pope did it. Doesn't say Muhammad did it. It says he did it. God did it. Doesn't say some human did it. Doesn't say that I went to AA courses and they did it. It doesn't say that I joined a church and they did it. It says he did it. He brought me up. God is the one who saves your soul. Not a human being, not an institution. God does it. He does it himself. He is the only one. Neither is there salvation in any other. He's the only one. Not a religious system. God Almighty. Not yourself. You know, we live in the days of secular humanism, and everything revolves around man, doesn't it? But I got news for you. If you keep it revolving around you, you'll die and go to hell. Because you cannot save yourself. You cannot pull yourself out of a pit. You know why? Because you're in the pit. Okay, I'm going to get myself out. Can't do it. Can't do it. Only God can. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He did that. Notice what he did. Out of. I like that. He brought me out of. That's what salvation is, folks. Amen. Salvation is the only way out of that pit. It's the only way. I mean, I could have learned catechism and recited it in the pit. Are you listening? I mean, I could have said all kinds of catechismical things. I don't know if that's a word or not, but write it down. Huh? Right there in the pit. Do you know I could have been very religious inside that pit? I could have lit all kinds of candles in that pit. Are you listening? Huh? Hey, I guarantee there had to be some water in that pit because there's miry clay, so there's some kind of water there. I could have dunked myself over and over again inside that pit, but I'd still been in the pit. You know, folks go through all kinds of religious motions today and do all kinds of nice things and good things, but that doesn't get you out of the pit. There's only one way out of the pit, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. There isn't any other way. Huh? And by the way, he doesn't set a ladder up at the pit so you can climb out. He takes us up out of there himself. I'll be honest with you, many can make you laugh inside the pit. The old world is so good at making people laugh. And I mean, just all kinds of funny things, but you're still in a pit. I remember as a teenager laughing my head off about all kinds of things and putting on a show about being some big shot, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Truth of the matter is, I was still in the pit. Huh? Many can make you comfortable in that pit to some extent. Oh, there's all kinds of religious folks and all kinds of good people in our world today, and all they have is a nice glorified pillow in their pit. That's all it is, because they're still there. Huh? Church attendance, good works. You know, you can feel real comfortable, but the only way out of the pit is through Jesus Christ. The only way out of the pit is to trust Jesus as your Savior. Many can make the surroundings better. I mean, seriously, you could redecorate your pit. Yeah, yeah. Folks do it all the time. They, you know, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to redecorate, but it's still a pit. Right? I mean, I hopped from church to church redecorating my pit. I went from friend to friend redecorating my pit. But it didn't take care of that need that I had in my heart to be forgiven. It didn't take care of the need in my heart to be saved. And my friend, you may be playing games today with God. You may be convinced that, hey, you know, my pit, it's not so bad, but it's still the pit. And it still leads straight to hell. He brought me out of. Many can teach you all about the miry clay, but that doesn't do you any good. Many can even work at convincing you that there is no miry clay. It's all in your imagination. And psychologist after psychiatrist after all of, you know, hey, you know what, it's, you know, you had this happen when you were a child and you had that. Listen to me, I don't care what they say, you still have to get out of the pit. Okay, salvation is simply getting out of the pit. That's what it is. Okay, the psalmist has it absolutely right. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He did it. That's salvation. You don't get saved any other way. Okay? Doesn't say the pastor did it. Doesn't say Sunday school teacher did it. Doesn't say youth director did it. Doesn't say bus captain did it. Doesn't say dad did it. Mom did it. It just says God, he did it. That's the only way. That's the only way of salvation. Well, you're narrow-minded. I'm not narrow-minded. God said it. God's God. He's the one that set the what it had to be. Huh? But he's also the one who made it possible. He didn't say get you a ladder and climb out, did he? He didn't say sprout wings and grow out, did he? Or fly out. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, hey, it's up to you to figure it out. No, he said, I'm listening. I'm waiting on your cry. All you have to do is ask. Done. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's word. That isn't Baptist. That isn't Methodist. That isn't Presbyterian. That isn't Catholic. That is God's word simply spoken. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only Jesus can reach down and lift us out of that pit. And when I was 17 years old, that's exactly what he did for me. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 23. This is such a simple truth, and yet we miss it so often. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 23. Talking about the children of Israel and how they had been slaves in Egypt, and how God had promised them the promised land, and how the promised land would be the very best thing for them. It would be the perfect place. But notice what it says, verse 23, "And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." You say, "I don't get it." Oh, it's so simple, and yet it's so profound. Huh? He had to bring them out in order to bring them in. Amen. Listen to me. Understand. If God doesn't bring them out of Egypt, they never go into the promised land. And if God doesn't bring you out of your pit, you're never going to know what heaven's like. You're not going to go to heaven. You must be born again, Jesus said. You must be. Well, you know, I think there's all kinds of ways and all kinds of ideas. Yeah, I know. What you're trying to do is decorate your pit. You have to come out of the pit. And only Jesus can bring us out. And he must bring us out in order to bring us in to heaven. Praise God. Praise God for conversion. Number four, we see confidence. Confidence. It says, not only did he bring us out of the pit, but he set our feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Boy, that's so good. Confidence. Set my feet upon a rock. When you're in a pit, when you're in miry clay, there's no confidence. You don't know what's happening. You're sinking, and the feeling of sinking is always there, and it just seems like it's worse and worse. But salvation is God bringing you out of that pit, out of that miry clay, out of that horrible place, and literally setting you on the rock, which is now a solid foundation. You want a solid foundation? Do you step in mud? No, you step on a rock. You step on a rock. It's the opposite of sinking, praise God. It's the opposite of falling. It's I'm on a rock. I am secure on this rock. You say, well, what if I slip off the rock? Jude 24 says, he is able to keep you from falling. He is able. You're not. You weren't able to get yourself out of the pit. You weren't able to put yourself on the rock. But he's able. He was able. 17 years old, he pulled me out of that pit. He set me on the rock. Well, I'm there. I'm confident on that rock. I'm not confident in me, but I'm confident in that rock. The Bible says that rock is Christ. And he's the chief cornerstone. And he's solid. He is able. 2 Timothy 1:12. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. He is able. You say, well, you know, if I pray and trust Christ as my Savior, what if I mess up? He's able to keep that which you've committed. I got news for you. You are going to mess up. Because there isn't a perfect person in this room. There isn't a perfect person in this world. We do mess up. But you know what the confidence is? The confidence, he is able. He is able. Well, you know, I don't want to mess up. Oh, believe me, he doesn't want you to mess up either. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Praise God. There is a confidence in Jesus being in control of the whole thing. He's a rock. He is a rock. Praise God for that confidence that we can have. And the same idea, we can now come boldly to the throne of grace. We can go to him in prayer boldly. Boldly, with confidence. Why? Because he saved us. He's our Father. We're his children. Praise God for the confidence. And then the last thing we see here is a change. And boy, that just stands out to me so much. Verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth. There, what? It's a new song. I mean, before I got saved, I cussed and swore and, I mean, used all kinds of vulgar language and didn't know how to say any good words. I didn't know Christian music or Christian songs or any of that stuff. I mean, I just spoke like any wicked person would. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing after I got saved how my language changed? You say, boy, you must have had good willpower. I didn't have any willpower. God changed my language. You know why? He put a new song in my mouth. It was a whole new song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Amen? What? You know, can you testify to that today? Yeah. I mean, and if not, why don't you? It's a new song. You know why it's a new song? Because it was a new life. I mean, come on. When you're in a pit, it's a pit. Boy, when you're on a rock, you're out of that pit, it's new. It's new. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Yeah, see? I mean, there's no singing in the pit. There's only sorrow in the pit. That's why. Do you understand? Most of the music that I sang as a teenager back in the 70s, I mean, it was all sad. It was all sorrow. It was all about death. It was about drugs. It was about sex. It was about everything that had put everybody in the pit. That's what it was all about. Nothing to sing about there. Hello? Nothing to rejoice about. But see, on the rock, it's a new song because it's a new life. Oh, I hope you have that new life today. There's some folks, honestly, I wonder because you kind of keep singing the same old song. You know, it just looks like your eyes are empty and your soul is empty and there's just nothing happening. I just have to wonder, are you on the rock or are you still in the pit? You just need to get saved. Because when you get saved, you become a new creature. Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song. And that new song is a song of praise. It is a song of joy. It's a song that doesn't wait till Thanksgiving to praise the Lord. It's a song that sings it every day. It's a new song. It's praising God. It's hallelujah, I'm saved. It's God came into my heart. God changed my life. God took me out of that pit. God took away my sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you talk about it, and it's a new song. I remember when I got saved, it was like I was looking down, not because I was better than anybody, but because all my friends were in the pit. And all of a sudden I could see, wow, it's so much better here, folks. I would talk to my buddies. I'd say, listen, you need to get saved. I remember witnessing to the fellow I worked with at the gas station. He was an older man, and he was the manager, and I was a co-manager with him. And I remember talking to him. Boy, I don't know what God did, because I didn't know all the things that happened when I got saved. But I said, you know what? It's different. I couldn't describe it, but I knew I didn't have miry clay on me anymore. And I knew that my feet were on a rock now, and I wasn't sinking anymore. And it was a new song. And they all looked at me and said, what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I remember my friends. I still can see their faces like, you don't cuss anymore. What's wrong with you? I said, you know, God took that away. And they just, oh, yeah, let's change the subject. It's a new song because it's a new life. It's a new song because, okay, do you sing when you're in the mud and the mire and the clay and you're sinking and you're falling and you're dying? Or do you sing when you're on the rock? Amen. He puts that song in the mouth of those who dwell on the rock. Praise God. It's a new song. It's a new service. That's the change. It's a new service. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You have a new master now, and they see it by watching you. Uh-huh. In the pit, your life was useless, but now others can see what God's done. That's why we're left here after we get saved. Don't you get it? To give glory to God with our lives. Yeah. And now you can walk by the pit and let them see Jesus. And let them see that the mud's not so great. You know, honestly, it's amazing how lost people perceive us. And one thing that a lost person cannot do is they cannot duplicate joy. They just don't have any way to do it. And the peace of God, because the Bible says, it passeth all understanding. You can't do it.
Okay, well, I need a formula here for peace.
It's God gives it. It's His peace. It's beyond what we could ever calculate. It's beyond what we could concoct. It's not something that we're going to be able to make happen. That's why, you know, Christian, being out of that pit, folks do look at you. I hope you're a good testimony. I really do. I hope when folks look at you, they say, wow, that person used to have mud all over them and now they don't. That person used to be sinking and now they're not. That person never praised God before, but now they do. Yeah, it's a new service because it's a new master. Praise God. And you can have real meaning in life if you do that. The Bible says, many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. I can't think of anybody better to help people get out of a pit than somebody that got out of the pit. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to tell them, well, it's going to take a certain length of ladder? Aren't you glad you don't have to tell them, well, I'm going to have to try to figure out a crane of some kind to get you out of this thing? Aren't you glad you just tell them, you know what? Jesus said, I love you. And He said, if you'll call on Him, He'll save you. And He'll take you out of that pit. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You know, it's not based on you. It's based on Him. And then it's a new satisfaction. The change. It's a new satisfaction. It's brand new. Verse 4, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Blessed. Happy. Blessed. Blessed is that man. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Blessed. He's a blessed person. I can be satisfied with that. Not only has God taken me out of a pit where it was mud and miry clay and I was stuck and I was sinking, but He put me on a rock and He blesses my life. He does things for me. He blesses me. Verse 5 goes on. Many, O Lord my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And that's that satisfaction. You know what? My God is there all the time. My God takes care of me all the time. My God blesses me all the time. His blessings, I can't even number them. They're so good. I say today, if you're here and you're not saved, get out of the pit. Call on Jesus. And I say to Christians today, you know, think about what He did when He saved you. No one else could do it. You could not. There's not enough steps in a step program to get you out of that pit. You couldn't do it. Every one of us had to be literally pulled out of that pit by Jesus, put on the rock by our Lord, and He is the rock. And everything else follows, all the blessings, and I'm satisfied. Are you satisfied today? Are you satisfied? It is a new satisfaction that we have. What happened, preacher? Well, first we saw the condition. We were in a pit, a horrible pit, a pit of miry clay. He heard our cry. Praise God, because He was listening for it. He listens for you today. There was a conversion. He took us up out of the pit, and He put us on a rock, and there's confidence because that rock is Jesus and it doesn't move. I don't care how much everything shakes all around us, He doesn't shake. And there's a confidence. As we watch the times get worse and worse, and as we look around, we read our paper, and we hear our news, listen to me, you need to have confidence in your rock. Amen. And what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Can you praise Him today? Do people see that in your life? Do they see that wonderful change in your life? Maybe you just got saved. Maybe it just happened not that long ago. Oh, it'll happen. It'll come. There'll be a new song, a new service, and a new satisfaction. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, nobody looking around, nobody talking, please. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, "Preacher, if I died right now, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven." Raise your hand if that's your testimony today. You are not sure you're going to heaven if you die. Say, "Please pray for me, preacher." Raise your hand. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone at all? Pray for me. I wonder how many Christians you'd say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something today. I am a Christian. I am saved. But God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian." Raise your hand. All over. Just slip it up. God's speaking to my heart. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for the precious truth that we talked about today and the conversion that took place from pit to a rock. God, what a wonderful remembrance it should be to everybody here of the day that we trusted you as our Savior. And I pray that there, if there is one here today that's not saved, that first of all, you would save them. And God, help them to realize their life is the pits and that they need Jesus to get them out of that pit. And then I pray for Christians that you would help us to remember, to think about it often, to praise you, to be the example of the new life that we ought to be. And we ask that you'll bless our invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. 270, 270 in your hymnals. "Just as I am," if God's speaking to your heart, that's how you come. "Just as you are." As we sing on the first verse, if you need to come, you come.
"Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come."
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue. If you have a decision to make, do not hesitate, just come. Kneel at an old-fashioned altar, make your decision. Pray about what you need to pray about. Maybe just come and thank God for saving your soul, for taking you up out of that pit, putting you on that rock. Whatever your need today, still time. If you need to come, you come. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Up this way, please. All right, don't forget, this afternoon, 4:30, ensemble practice, 5, all the choirs, men's prayer time, ladies' prayer time, and of course our teens meet, then 6 o'clock, our evening service, and I trust you'll be back with us. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we are thankful for the rock that you gave to us. Lord, the sacrifice that your Son made on Calvary's cross to pay for the penalty for our sin, that we might be able to be that you might be able to lift us up out of the miry clay if we just call on you. Lord, if there's still one yet here this morning that has not done that, we pray that before they leave this room, they'd find their way to the altar and call upon you for salvation or ask a question of one of us that is here. Lord, we pray that the core of this message would go forth today with each of us, reminding us of the salvation that we have through Christ and the reminder of the pit that we were once in. Now our feet on the solid rock of your Son. Lord, I'd ask that you'd guide and direct and bless in each of our lives as we go from this place this morning. Gather us again tonight safely, we ask in Jesus' name.